Ignition running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the fruited plain, and I love having you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you text the word ENGAGE to 33777, you can get a ticket to the gathering. It is coming up in 50 days. And I got to tell you, we can confirm that Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia is going to be there to hang out with you. The Thursday night of the event, we're going to have a welcome reception, and Governor Glenn Youngkin wants to come not just speak but hang out with the crowd. So if you want to meet Glenn Youngkin, be there. Text ENGAGE to 33777. Get a ticket. We still have some left. It's going to be a fun time. Mike Pence will be there. Brian Kemp will be there. Glenn Youngkin will be there. Doug Ducey will be there. Kevin Stitt will be there. Kevin Hearn will be there. It's going to be a great, great time. We're hoping to get Greg Abbott of Texas there as well. It should be a number of governors, senators, congressmen. It's going to be a good time. I want to talk about the Texas Children's Hospital situation, but the spirit moves me to talk about something else first, so you'll have to forgive me. I want to talk about this. After the George Floyd situation, and let me frame for you from my perspective the George Floyd situation, it has become very tribal. George Floyd was not a good guy. In truth, he was kind of failed by the system. He was, and I know conservatives get defensive about this, it's not systemic racism or anything like that. This is a man who slipped through the cracks from society, who had he had run a Bible study and participated in a Bible study, had put his life back together, and then on hard times fell back through the cracks into a life of drugs and crime. Made really bad decisions. But I still don't think that he should have had to die with the man's knee on his neck as long as he did. And there's been some vast revisionism on the right because they just can't. You know, it's funny. There are those defensive people on the right who the Capitol Police were bad on January 6th, but the police officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck for as long as he had it was perfectly fine. It's just we've gotten so tribal about these things. People don't want to even have a rational conversation. George Floyd wasn't a good guy, but he should have died that way. I think we can say that. And the riots that came from it should not have come. The violence that the left excused, and so much of it at that time, was so politicized by so many people. And it never should have been. But like you had people lecturing American small business owners who were protesting over their shops being closed up in April and May of 2020. You had people in the news media, the anchors in the news media, belittling them. You had reporters suggesting they shouldn't get medical care if they get COVID because of their maskless protests. And then after George Floyd, these protests break out in these massive crowds around the country. And the very same reporters were saying, forget COVID. It's their constitutional right to do this, and they should do this, and you should be there too. It was so hyper-partisan. It was so politicized. It was very disgusting. And there were a lot of people, because George Floyd was the rallying point, the spark that lit that riotous fire, that there are people on the right who can't not help but say terrible things about a man who died after a police officer had his knee on his neck for minutes. And you have people on the right, some of whom are friends of mine, say the police officer didn't kill him. He was high on fentanyl. He overdosed. He died. They just can't begin to acknowledge that it was not good for that police officer to have had the knee on his neck for as long as he did. What was it, 8 minutes, something like that? It was ridiculous. But from that, a movement swept the nation. to recognize Juneteenth as Juneteenth National Independence Day Act. That was the law that was signed, and Juneteenth is the first federal holiday since Martin Luther King Jr. was adopted in 1983. There are a lot of people who said, oh, I don't know why we need this federal holiday. We've already got MLK Day. Y'all, you get a day off work. Suck it up and enjoy your day off. But I am totally okay with Juneteenth. And in fact, I argued if we've got to swap out a federal holiday, get rid of MLK Day and have it be Juneteenth. If there was some concern that we had too many federal holidays and labor laws and we got to scrap one. And you know, some organizations, the ones that really got into DEI and wokeness, decided now we're going to abandon Christmas Eve so you can have off Juneteenth. In fact, Emory University's hospital system has done that here in Atlanta, that you no longer get off Christmas Eve now. You get Juneteenth. Bizarre. Could let people pick. But the holiday itself, I think, is significant. So for those of you who don't know the significance of it, it's been a holiday in Texas for years. Yes, those right-wing Texans, those right-wing white radicals in Texas wanted to celebrate Juneteenth. Juneteenth was the day, June 19th, in what, 1864, that news finally reached Galveston Bay, Texas, that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed and the slaves were free. The Emancipation Proclamation had been signed well before that, and the war was over before the people of Galveston Bay, the slaves of Galveston Bay, Texas, knew they were free. It's a historic moment. It is. So historic, the white racists of Texas decided that it should be honored and celebrated. Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation September 22, 1862, to go into effect January 1, 1863. And it's just remarkable it took that long to spread news. In fact, it was, I got it wrong. I'm reading this now. Lincoln signed it on September 22, 1862. It went into effect January 1, 1863. And it was not until June 19th, 1865, 900 days after it had gone into effect, 71 days after Robert E. Lee had already surrendered, 24 days after the abandoning of the Confederate military that covered Texas, that's when it reached. It was that long. Not 1864, 1865. It's just it's a historic moment, and it should be remembered because, you know, it's a good day. And now one of the arguments from people, friends of mine on the right, say, well, you know, but it's a progressive holiday. No, it's not. No, it's not. It only is if you decide to make it be. Certainly progressives want to co-opt it, but progressives have tried to co-opt July 4th as well. Progressives in the 1619 Project, they've tried to co-opt July 4th. They've tried to co-opt all these other holidays. They try to co-opt this one. You don't have to go along with it. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Joseph and his brothers. For those of you who don't know the story, whether you take it as real or not, there's a historic figure in the Bible. His name is Joseph. Joseph has brothers. Joseph's brothers, they sell him into slavery, and he's taken away to Egypt. Joseph grows up into a position of prominence and becomes in charge of Pharaoh's household and eventually becomes essentially the prime minister of Egypt. He is in charge of Egypt for the Egyptians, a Jew from the land of Canaan. And then there's a massive drought, and the people of Canaan have to flee, and they wind up going to Egypt, and he recognizes his brothers and reveals himself to his brothers and asks that his father come too. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead after they go back to Egypt and his father is dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And notice, the father didn't actually say that. The brothers concocted yet another scheme. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, Behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. The moral of the story is what some people may mean for evil, God means for good. Some people could mean to co-opt Juneteenth as a progressive indoctrination holiday. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go along with the progressive indoctrination. You can tell the story. Kids, we're celebrating Juneteenth, and people now have off for Juneteenth because Juneteenth was the day that word spread to the furthest reaches of the Confederacy that the United States was reunited without slavery. That for the first time in all the land of the United States, word had reached every corner, every square inch, every mile, and every person that slaves were free and we were all of us Americans now. I agree with Condoleezza Rice. It kind of is a second Independence Day. On July 4th, 1776, our forefathers pledged that their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, that all men would be free because we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Thomas Jefferson, in writing about those lines, lamented the fact that they had not gone far enough. It was Thomas Jefferson, a slave owner, who said, we're going to have to deal with the issue. But they put it off not because they wanted to preserve slavery, as the 1619 proponents say, but because they had this big bad empire called Great Britain they had to deal with, and they couldn't deal with the slave issue while they were also fighting Great Britain because of how divisive it was, and they all needed to stick together without dividing, and so they stuck together and decided they'd deal with it later. And they founded this fantastic, wonderful, greatest nation to ever be on planet Earth. But it had a sin. And on June 19, 1865, the whole of the nation was now repented of the sin through a lot of blood and violence, but also soldiers showing up in Galveston Bay to tell slaves, you're Americans now. You're free. And I think that's worth celebrating. You don't have to turn it into a progressive holiday, a day of resistance, a day of action. You go barbecue, play golf, have a beer, relax with your family, and know that on this day in 1865, all Americans were now Americans. The dream that our founders had, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that on this day, that day came to fruition. It was the completion of the American project, from which we can now derive a greater American experiment. So many people on the left want to take any good thing the right does and twist it to make it bad. And so many people on the right want to take things the left does and twist it to make it bad. That's a choice. It's a choice that you make. It's a choice you don't have to make, but it's a choice too many people want to make. Because you don't want to credit anybody on the other side for doing anything that you might decide you like. I mentioned in the first hour the old Chris Rock joke that he couldn't understand white people being upset about having a Martin Luther King Jr. Day. If he had a KKK day, he'd be perfectly happy to take off work and barbecue. You don't have to like the riots and the protests and Black Lives Matters and the woke activists. You don't have to like any of that. But embracing a day off work in the middle of June as the historic moment that the ideals of Thomas Jefferson on July 4th, 1776 finally swept to every corner of our great nation so that every single person knew now slavery is gone, all men really are free, and we are all Americans and part of this together, I just think that's worth celebrating. You don't have to take the woke for it. Just take the day off work, have a good time, and know that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that was made real on this day in 1865 in Galveston Bay. And that should be good enough for all of us to recognize just what an amazing country we live in. We get to celebrate this and bookended in a few weeks with the actual 4th of July celebration of this nation coming into birth. And I think that's a fantastic several weeks of liberty worth celebrating.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. My call screener says this stupid day off has made everyone even more divisive and stupid. Except I can't tell you what he really said because I can't say those words on radio. But apparently people with too much time on their hands just want to call in and complain because they don't want to have a day off today. They'd rather be at work. That's on them, not on me. All right, we have other stuff to talk about. However, I need to say something that should not be divisive for the record. Al Jazeera was literally Osama bin Laden's favorite news outlet. I'm not making that up. He liked to leak things to Al Jazeera. It was his favorite news network. He himself documented it as his favorite news network. The Washington Post has now hired multiple Al Jazeera journalists. It's no coincidence that the Washington Post is now Hamas's favorite Western outlet. The Middle East editor worked for Al Jazeera. They've shown unbridled hostility to Israel in carrying the talking points of Hamas and treating them uncritically. So it's no surprise that Osama bin Laden's favorite news outlet staff now work on the editorial for Middle Eastern coverage of the Washington Post, which is Hamas's favorite outlet. We are literally watching a group of progressives take Jeff Bezos's billions and turn the Washington Post into a terrorist organization right before our eyes. Now, let me tell you about Americans for Prosperity. At the border, they're taking people to the border with Americans for Prosperity Foundation. They're showing people the ecological fallout of the border. Friends, they also have solutions, and they've set up a website you can go to called SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. And the purpose is to show everyone that there are legitimate, easy, common-sense solutions to dealing with the situation at the border. Real simple solutions like more border agents, more judges to process amnesty requests, a physical border wall. In some parts of the border, given its setup, it's almost impossible to do a physical border wall, but it is possible to increase electronic surveillance in addition to border patrol agents. It's all very easy. It's all very conservative solutions to deal with border security, and it's all available at Secure Border, Secure America, along with a way for you to not only educate yourself, but involve yourself in getting your members of Congress to embrace those common sense ideas. We don't need comprehensivism. We just need a secure border. Go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com, brought to you by my friends at Americans for Prosperity, advancing conservatism state to state.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, and I am delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to call in, we must talk now about the Texas Children's Hospital and the whistleblowers. This is becoming a big story. Some of you have probably heard about it if you're very online. Those of you who are not very online, buckle up. You know who Christopher Rufo is? He's been on the program. Christopher Rufo works for the Manhattan Institute, writes at City Journal, and he has been probably the leading voice on the right against DEI and its nefariousness. Some time ago, Christopher Rufo had a whistleblower reveal disturbing information about Texas Children's Hospital to him. Let me read you. This is from May 16th, 2023, last year. Said last spring, that would have been May of 2022, executives at Texas Children's Hospital announced they would cease performing transgender medical procedures on children, citing potential legal and criminal liability. The hospital's chief pediatrician, Catherine Gordon, an advocate for gender-affirming therapy, abruptly resigned. Keep in mind, he's writing in May of 23. I have obtained exclusive whistleblower documents showing that, despite its public statements, the Houston-based Children's Hospital, the largest in the United States, has secretly continued to perform transgender medical interventions, including the use of implantable puberty blockers on minor children. When reached via email, hospital spokeswoman Kelly Carville responded, "We have no comment." As an institution, Texas Children's Hospital has openly promoted gender-affirming care to its physicians. In January of this year, again, that's 2023, Texas Children's Hospital and Baylor College of Medicine, which works in partnership with the Children's Hospital, hosted a, quote, pediatric grand rounds presentation titled Medical and Psychological Care of Gender-Diverse Youth, describing the process of sex change interventions from puberty blockers to cross hormones to genital surgeries. Despite the hospital's statements it has ceased practices, Richard Roberts, a University of Virginia-trained endocrinologist and assistant professor at Baylor College of Medicine, has continued to manage a heavy caseload for gender-affirming care, including multiple patient visits in a single day last week for gender dysphoria and gender identity, and another for HRT, hormone replacement therapy. Another doctor at Texas Children's, a Harvard-trained surgeon and assistant professor at Baylor College of Medicine named Christy Rylon, has also been involved in conducting transgender surgical procedures on minors. The records indicate that Rylon inserted and removed non-biodegradable drug delivery implants for gender dysphoria in pediatric patients throughout 2022 and 2023, including one procedure on an 11-year-old female-to-male transgender person listed in records for 3 days after the hospital announced it had stopped performing gender-affirming care. So the hospital said it would stop after Texas cracked down on gender-affirming care of prepubescent children. And then also people under the age of 18. They said they stopped it. But a whistleblower exposed records of Texas Children's Hospital proving that the hospital was not just lying publicly, but also lying to the state of Texas and was still doing it. Let me read you one of these. Another patient who we will call Patient B began care at Texas Children's in 2022 at the age of 16. Patient B is a biological male who identified as a female and whose records indicated the transgender identity female. He arrived at the gender clinic under the care of Paul, already having begun a prescription of a testosterone blocker and estrogen, which served as a sex change hormone. Paul wanted to help patient B feminize his body to conform to his desired gender identity. Patient B had increased the size of his breasts, but was frustrated by persistent facial hair. Paul discussed changing the testosterone blocker and increasing the dose of estrogen in order to make progress with feminization. Patient B told Paul that he wanted his breasts to be larger, firmer, and more pressed together with larger areolas. Paul adjusted patient B's estrogen prescription and discussed the possibility of breast implants for a 16-year-old in 2022. A young man racked with gender dysphoria who they decided we needed to do medical procedures to alter his body to conform to his state of mind as opposed to working with his mind to get his mind to accept his body. And they were lying the whole time to the state of Texas. The state of Texas was told they weren't doing this because the state of Texas had cracked down on it and passed laws against doing it. And Texas Children's Hospital was continuing to do it. The whistleblower is named Ethan Haim. He's a surgeon. Last year, a surgical resident at Texas Children's Hospital, Ethan Haim, provided Christopher Rufo the records showing that the hospital was secretly engaged in transgender medical interventions on minors, despite publicly telling everyone, including the state of Texas, that it had not done so. Ethan Haim is a whistleblower. The hospital lied to the state, saying it had stopped these things. And in fact, the hospital had not stopped those things. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, has now indicted Ethan Haim, the surgeon, not the hospital. Merrick Garland has decided the whistleblower needs to go to jail, not the hospital administrators. And why must Ethan Haim go to prison? Because according to the now unsealed indictment, Haim was charged with obtaining protected medical records of individuals not under his care. They're targeting him under HIPAA because he wasn't the doctor and did not have the patient's consent to release their records to Christopher Rufo. In March 2022, this is from USA Today, Texas Children's Hospital announced it was no longer prescribing gender-affirming hormone therapy, citing legal liability. A month earlier, Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxson had announced that sex change procedures on children and prescribing puberty blockers is child abuse under the Texas code. So they stopped it. But Haim's record showed they were lying the whole time. He recorded evidence. He passed it off to Chris Rufo. On May 16th of last year, they published Rufo's story, of which I read you excerpts, and only then did the Texas legislature officially ban transgender medical intervention on minors. In January of this year, Dr. Haim admitted he was the whistleblower, and he detailed the gender-affirming care he saw firsthand, including a surgeon implanting a hormone device in an 11-year-old girl. Haim said the frequency of the procedures had increased, despite Texas Children's Hospital publicly saying they had banned it all. They hadn't. Federal agents came to Haim's home, notified him he was a target. They said he reactivated credentials at the hospital and got in and got the records. Now, here's the thing. The Biden administration is also going after the whistleblowers who blew the whistle on the Department of Justice, not prosecuting Hunter Biden. If you recall, yes, Hunter Biden was prosecuted and found guilty, but he was only prosecuted because whistleblowers revealed to Congress and the public that they were taking it easy on him. They had to go hard on him, and they didn't go as hard as they could have still. But they had to prosecute him, and they only did because of the whistleblowers. Whistleblowers during the Trump administration were lionized. You know, Alexander Vindman, who blew the whistle on Trump that led to the first impeachment, his brother, Eugene, just got the Democratic nomination in Congress, beat a Democrat in a Democratic primary. The Democrats loved them some whistleblowers when it was against the right. There's new video from a Ring door camera where one of the nurses at Texas Children's Hospital, who will verify the accounts that the doctor described, has had the FBI show up at her home. The feds are harassing anyone who would point the spotlight at hospitals lying about gender-affirming care. You know, here's the thing. We were once told that people were born gay or straight, that you couldn't choose, you were born that way. But now the left tells us, with no scientific basis whatsoever, that we must choose whether or not we are male or female. We're not born that way. And we are told that while we must embrace our mental state of being gay or straight and how we feel about people, that we must now conform our bodies surgically if our brain tells us we are not how we present. The goalposts ever shift. You know, the irony here on all this woke intersectional stuff is, you know, it's not just white heterosexuals anymore who are the bad guy. It's gay men as well. It's kind of interesting now that gay men are now actually told that they're not really gay. They're women in men's bodies, and they need to surgically alter themselves. If they're a man attracted to a man, well, they might actually be a woman trapped in a man's body. And it seems like the wokes are the ones who believe things are socially constructed, and nobody else does. It's all a perversion and a twisting and upside down of logic that you're born gay or straight, but you get to pick whether or not you're a boy or a girl, and that you must go through just burdensome surgeries to conform your body to your mind, as opposed to getting your mind to settle down into who you identify as. And you know, the remarkable thing is that study after study has shown that there are a lot of kids who think they're trans. They go through puberty and everything calms down and they're suddenly okay again. But these doctors at these hospitals are forcing drugs and surgeries on them, so they never get the chance to calm down. It's one of the reasons so many conservatives say we should not be doing transitioning until someone is an adult, let their brain and everything else fully develop and see what happens. But there's no money to be made in that, is there? And now the federal government is going to prosecute a whistleblower who exposed Texas Children's Hospital's mutilations and experimentations on children well after they said they were not doing it. Instead of taking on the hospital, they're going to punish the person who exposed the hospital. Needless to say, these are the sorts of reasons why there are so many people who may not like him, who intend to vote for Donald Trump, because they do not want the wokes to win. They do not want the bad guys to win. They do not want the whistleblowers blowing the whistle on these things to go to jail. And they will turn out on these cultural issues and vote for Donald Trump. You know, but it's not just these hospitals. You've got progressives now buying stock in, for example, banks. And then they're using their shareholder position to force DEI on the banks, and in some cases forcing the banks to cancel bank accounts of people perceived as being problematic conservatives. It's one of the reasons Old Glory Bank was started by conservatives for conservatives, so that conservatives don't have to worry about bank cancellations for legal transactions. Some banks won't even let you buy a gun with your debit card from your bank. It's remarkable progressivism, and Old Glory Bank stands against it and stands for you. It's one reason you should get an account with them, but also they're highly innovative. You can deposit cash even though it's online. You can deposit cash at 88,000 retail locations around the country. The debit card, I literally last week when I was traveling thought I lost it, and I was able with the app to pause my debit card. Once I found it, I was able to restart it again, and had I not been able to find it, reported as lost, all with the app. Super, super, super easy, great app to use. OldGloryBank.com. You can get an account with them at OldGloryBank.com, less than 8 minutes. By the way, get one for your kids. If your kids make a lot of cash for lawn care, babysitting, odd jobs around the house, they're able to quickly deposit it with the Old Glory Bank app. It's great for kids because it's no-fee checking, no-fee savings with a competitive interest rate. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings, conversationalists. It is Eric Erickson here, and I am so delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Got a whole lot of white people calling that they didn't get the day off their work. I'm sorry, Y'all don't work for a woke outfit. I didn't get the I'm here with you, and I'm okay with Juneteenth. I'm okay working on Juneteenth. In fact, I'm making all of my white employees do double duty today, so the non-white employees, they can take off Juneteenth. One day, someone's really going to get me. I'm going to get myself in trouble, aren't I? In any event, we have other stuff that we need to talk about. We got actually a lot more ground to cover today. Meanwhile, you need to know something else. Remember the Houthi? When Joe Biden came into office, one of the things he did on day one, literally on the first day in office, he set about undoing everything Donald Trump had done. And on the first day in office, Joe Biden took the Houthi off the terror watch list despite a protest from Saudi Arabia. And Joe Biden, on January 19th of this year, the headline was Houthi embraced direct confrontation with U.S. as Biden admits airstrikes aren't working. 14 hours ago, the Houthi sank a cargo ship in the Red Sea with a drone attack. Joe Biden says he doesn't want to actively engage with the Houthi because it would expand war in the Middle East. Meanwhile, the Houthi are continuing to sink ships in the Red Sea. This is not the first cargo ship they've sunk in the Red Sea. Not the first. And the United States, we're continuing the Dwight D. Eisenhower, USS Eisenhower aircraft carrier, is attacked on a near daily basis in the Red Sea, and Joe Biden refuses to engage. Joe Biden, according to Barack Obama's own Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, Joe Biden has been wrong about every major foreign policy decision in Washington in 50 years. And yet again, Joe Biden says we can't risk a direct confrontation with the Houthi, even as they want one. And the Houthi are sinking more cargo ships, driving up the time it takes for cargo to get to Europe and the United States because they can't go through the Red Sea. And that drives up prices. For a man who's concerned about inflation, he's doing nothing to really bring down prices. But Omaha Steaks is with a 50% off sale just in time for Independence Day. If you go to omahasteaks.com right now, they've got 50% off site-wide for Independence Day. So you can get fantastic steaks to throw on the grill. If you are overwhelmed, they've got such a big selection of steaks, seafood, chicken, pork chops, ready-made sides, desserts, main courses you can just put in the oven to heat up. They got so many of them. If you're just overwhelmed, if you put Eric in the search bar, E-R-I-C-K, they'll give you a select package, and you get 50% off site-wide right now at omahasteaks.com in time for Independence Day. And you know, you don't have to do anything special. You just go to omahasteaks.com, and it's 50% off site-wide. And you get 100% satisfaction guaranteed from Omaha Steaks because they want you to be a repeat customer. But y'all, the 4th of July is coming out. You going to grill out? Well, go to Omaha Steaks. You can get great stuff for 50% off at omahasteaks.com.